Well, good morning and welcome to Bridges. Oh, that was weak. All right, let's try it again. Good morning. That's better. All right, you're here. You're awake. That's good stuff. Hey, we started this series 15 weeks ago. I think it's the longest series we've ever done. And we've been focusing on Jesus the whole time from the book of John. It's been an exciting series. And part of this, I think the reason it was so exciting and so much fun, is we took some time to pray and fast. We had about 30 people at Bridges commit to praying and fasting at least one day a month. And we've been doing that for almost 100 days. Pretty amazing stuff. And during that time, we had groups praying in different areas. We had prayer groups on Wednesday, had prayer groups Monday morning, very early. We had people praying, and we had people fasting, all kinds of things. We had people doing the Daniel fast, where it was just basically bread and water. Not even bread, I guess vegetables and water, which is, you know, pretty hard. We had people giving up coffee. So if they're a little grumpy, that's why. For, you know, 100 days without coffee, they're a little bit tough like that. We had people taking a day without eating. And so we did a lot of prayer and fasting this time, and what we didn't know and that we discovered is the last few weeks, God said, you're going to fast from air conditioning. So we've been doing that in this room, seeing really how dedicated we are. They thought they were going to have it fixed this week, and the gentleman installing it hurt his back and could not work on it. So if you're going to, this is the day to volunteer in the children's ministry. I know people are, and if you want to be a middle schooler, there's a class down there, and they have perfect air conditioning down there, but we don't here, and that's all right, because we're here to worship God and to follow Jesus, and we can do it because of all he's given up for us. In this series, we've been going through the book of John. And John, amazing writer, a fisherman who wrote down what he saw and what he heard and his time with Jesus. And when we started this series, we're saying we're just going to focus on certain things because you can't focus on it all. John wrote the very last, what we call verses, but the very last thing he wrote is in John 21. And this is what he said. He said, Jesus did many other things as well. I wrote down some things, but he did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And he's using a type of hyperbole, a type of exaggeration to say, I can't write it all down. It's impossible. And if you've ever tried to keep a journal of your daily activities, or if you've ever gone on a missions trip where people I've seen try to journal, you just have to give up on doing everything after a while because there's just so much happening. And John, I think, when he spent time with Jesus, it must have been like, wow, that was cool. That was amazing. And he wrote down all this stuff. But he said, I can't tell you everything. It would just fill every book. But I've written these things, specifically seven signs and seven I am statements, but even other things. I wrote these so that you would believe. There's enough here for you to believe in Jesus and to really get to know him. And not just know about him, but know him. 15 weeks ago when we started this series, I talked about a guy and a story that went to go visit Professor Agassiz at Harvard. And he had gone there because he wanted to be a natural scientist. And when he went, he thought he was going to study insects. But when he ran into Dr. Agassiz, he said, I want to learn, I want to grow. And Dr. Agassiz said, okay. And he put a fish in front of him. And he said, I want you to observe this fish and tell me everything you see. And after a few minutes, the student just kind of gave up and said, I'm done. And Professor Agassiz says, you've barely gotten started. Keep looking. And this went on for day after day. Just keep looking. Keep looking. And as the student tried to figure it out, finally figured out what this meant, he began to notice everything about the fish until he became an expert just by looking and just by going back and looking for something new until finally they could put any kind of fish in front of him and he could identify it based on what he saw. And what we want you to be able to do is look at Jesus and go back and look at Jesus and look at him again. And read the word about Jesus and not just fill in what you think, but allow God to speak through you because it's a living word. And as you get to know Jesus through the book of John, and I hope that you've read it and reread it, we ask people to read it up to 5 times. And if you've done that, now go to Matthew and go to Mark and go to Luke and get the full story because Jesus is the reason we're here. And Jesus is the reason that we know we're saved. And if you don't know Jesus, then you're missing out on the whole reason we exist. In this message that we've been working on for 15 weeks, we've tried to go back and look at some things, and I want to look at, if you have your Bibles, we're in John chapter 20, and if you have your message notes, you can take that again. It still works as a fan. And what I really liked was in the last 2 songs, I saw who had rhythm in here. All right, because during the songs, you had your fan go into rhythm. I cannot do that. You guys are very cool. I can only go on the half beat. You guys are going like full beat. I love that, okay? So you can keep doing that next song, really get it going. We'll get the room, you know, moving. But have your outline ready, and then have your Bibles open to John chapter 20. And we looked at this last week. We want to look at it again, because by observing things, you'll notice something different. Last week, we talked about when Jesus rose from the dead. And we talked about this guy named Doubting Thomas, who really wasn't Doubting Thomas, no different than the rest of us. And it's on that first day, what we call Easter, that we want to go back and look at this again. There's something I moved over on purpose, and I want to get to it today. John chapter 20, verse 19, after the death of Jesus, after the burial of Jesus, and everybody was afraid, this is what happened. On the evening that first day of the week, when disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came. Jesus came. And he stood among them and he said, peace be with you, shalom, it's okay, it's all the way it's supposed to be. In verse 20, and he said that, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. This is the way he will always look. To say, this is how much I love you, look at the scars, look at my side. This is what I did for you. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord, which I imagine we will be when we see the Lord face to face. And then it says, and Jesus again said, peace be with you. And then they said this phrase, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And it's a phrase I moved over last week on purpose to kind of move on, but this is what we call a commissioning verse. And it's a verse that we have to get to understand John, because I think this is what John did. John was the last of the gospel writers to write. He already had Matthew, Mark, and Luke in front of him. And I think he went back and said, this is all good. They can't tell the whole picture, but I think they need to add something in. And he added something in, and it's this phrase here, as the Father has sent me. He heard Jesus say it over and over. It's actually 23 times in the book of John that Jesus says, as the Father has sent me. When Jesus went to the Samaritan village to visit, in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. And they came to him and said, what are you doing here? He said in John chapter 4, this. I think we have it. Let's skip down a little bit and go to that. We'll come back. Can you find that one for me? John 4. It says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I'm sent. 23 times Jesus wants us to know, I came here because I was sent. I was in heaven. I lived there. Different culture. Different place. My Father's will is done perfectly there. But then he sent me to the earth. And he got his hands dirty. And he got his feet dirty. And he had to live a whole different lifestyle than what he was living in heaven. He was a missionary to our world. And his Father sent him. In Greek, if we go back to that, the word sent is a special word. It's the Greek word pimpo. It means to send, but it's a certain word that means someone sent by another of higher rank to perform a special task. It means to be commissioned. It's usually a military term, but it just means I'm sending you out. And I have something very specific I want you to do, a specific mission and a specific purpose, and you're going to go do that. And that's exactly why Jesus came. And on this night, when he rose from the dead, he looked at his followers eye to eye and face to face, and he says, look, I'm giving you this message now. I'm giving you this mission now. I was sent, now I'm sending you. And there was no plan B. Jesus said, you're it. I came, now you go. I was sent, now you're sent. And I saw this quote by Ed Stetzer I wanted to point out to you, and I really like it. Ed Stetzer's a writer, he's a missiologist, one who studies missions. And he says this, all of God's people are sent on mission. The only questions are where and among whom. Where and among whom. So God has a kingdom mission, and he entrusts that mission to the church. In other words, the church doesn't have a mission, but the mission has a church. In other words, we are gathered here because we're on mission. We don't gather and then make up a mission. We're on mission. We come together. We get fed. We get encouraged. We worship, and then we go out back on mission. The mission has a church. Some are sent cross-culturally as missionaries. We call that missions, and it's the thing everybody's afraid of, right? God, I'll follow you. Just don't send me wherever, which is probably where God's going to send you if you say that to him, right? He says, really? You know? We're always afraid of that. God, don't send me over here. Don't send me over there or wherever it may be. But the truth is, all are sent, and we call that missional. In other words, there's no such thing as a sitting Christian. There's no such thing as one who just stays where they are. You are called to be on mission. It may be in your neighborhood, it may be in your home, it may be at your office, but the truth is, it's all of those places. It's at your neighborhood grocery store. Because here's something we have to understand about God. It's the sent nature of God. God has a sending nature. God didn't just sit up in the heavens and go, look how bad my world is. I hope it gets straightened out. God doesn't just kick back and say, they're out there and they're lost. I hope someone finds them. He doesn't just sit back and say, it's just going to work out. God is a sending God. He said, they aren't getting it. I'm sending my son. And when his son came and his son was time to leave, he says, they need to get it. I'm sending you. There's no other way. You go. You are sent. The question is not anything but this. Where? Where am I being sent? And among whom? Who is it, God? Who is it out there that you want me to reach? Who out there needs to know you that you're going to use me to reach? And here's what I think happens to a church or any church or the church. We start focusing on ourselves and go, God, I've got these issues. Let me list them for you. And God's saying, wait a minute. You know me. I'm going to take care of you. But that person you see every day, they don't know me. What about them? I sent you there. See, we think we go to work to make money. And it's true, we go to work to make money. That's not why we're there. You are sent there. You're a missionary at your work. If there's one person at your work who doesn't know Jesus, that may be why you're there. And we think we go to school in order to get equipped for whatever God has for us. And that's true. But that's not all that you're there for. You go to school because you're a missionary at that place. You may be the only Christ follower there. You're in your house for a specific reason. You're in your neighborhood for a specific reason. God has you there because there's people around you he wants to reach. How are you going to reach them? That's what God says. You're there. They don't know me. I'm sending you. So what's the strategy? What strategy does God want to use? And I can tell you it's pretty simple stuff. And we're going to talk about a strategy there that's ancient. And it's the way God always has worked and the way he's always going to work. And you have to go back to Genesis chapter 12 to get it. Back to the very beginning. If you have your Bibles, this is a passage you need to know and you need to underline. You need to dog ear and you need to look back at it over and over. Because when God said, I'm going to save people, I'm going to save my world, I'm going to reach my world and restore them, he started with one guy named Abram. Genesis chapter 12 is one of those key verses in the Bible that everything else tees off of. It's ancient. It goes back to the people of faith, the very first person of faith that God said, now I'm going to start bringing them back, start restoring them, and I'm going to use this guy named Abram. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Abram's in his home country with his family, living a comfortable life, and it says this, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, I'm sending you. I'm sending you out. Go from your people, I'm sending you. Go from your father's household, I'm sending you to a land I will show you. I'm not going to tell you in advance. What's going to happen is every day you're going to have to get with me and say, where am I going? And I'll show you as you go. It's exactly how we live today. You may not go cross-culturally, but even here, God, where am I going today? I will show you, God says. Verse 2, here's the strategy God's going to use. He said to Abram, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'm going to bless you. In verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And here's the key. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is God's strategy. I'm going to bless you so you can bless other people. I'm not going to bless you so you can hold it all to yourself and just enjoy life. We do get to enjoy it, but I'm going to bless you so you can turn around and bless other people. And Abram was blessed. God blessed him relationally. He had a family. He blessed him financially with all kinds of stuff. He blessed him socially. He had favor of the people. And God said, now I want you to bless everybody else. See, when God picked Abram, I think it's because of his faith. And he said, I'll go. I'll leave everything behind and I'll go. And that's exactly what Abram did. And God said, I'm going to bless you. Now, to bless somebody is a word we don't use very often. A lot of times if someone sneezes, we say, bless you, right? What does that mean? Like, I hope you didn't get your germs on me, right? That kind of thing. What does it mean to bless someone? Well, to bless means to show God's favor toward. It can mean I want the best for you. It can mean I want to add value to your life. I want your life to be better just because I'm here. It's to walk into any situation and go, I'm here to make you better. I'm here to make your life better and easier. See, to follow Jesus is to walk into a situation and not go, what's in it for me? To walk into a situation instead and say, how can I help you? Can I encourage you? The word bless means to speak well of. Who can I speak well of today? Who needs encouragement today? I just say, I'm praying for you. How's it going? I like the way you do what you're doing. How are you going to bless people? It's a mindset of going out there and saying, God, use me in whatever way you want to use me. Mark Russell is a writer, and he wrote a book called Missional Entrepreneur. In the book, he talks about two missions group that went to Thailand. I've used this story before, but I want to use it again. And there was a study that was made of these two groups that went to Thailand to share Jesus. He labeled them two different ways. He said there was the converters and there were the blessers based on their strategy. The converters went in just to share the gospel. They were just going to evangelize. Their job was to go and share the gospel. And if anybody converted, great. The blesser said, yeah, we want people to know Jesus, but our first step is to bless people. We're just going to bless people. And here's their strategy. They said this, I'm here to bless whoever comes my way. I'm here to bless whoever comes my way. Isn't that a great way to live? I'm just here to bless whoever comes my way. My neighbor, my family, my boss, my coworker, I'm just here to bless them. And this is what they found. Over several years, they went back to study this group, and they found that the converters, they had seen some success, but the villages and the places they went were pretty much the same. But they went and looked at the blessers, and the villages they came to were just different. People were different. The community kind of rallied around each other. Things were improved. They were healthier. Their relationships were stronger. Their marriages were stronger. And what else they found was that the converters saw people come to Christ, but the blessers saw 50 times as many people come to Christ. Because Jesus has a strategy. And it's to bless people. To go in and say, how can I help you? How can I help you? There was a group that we've had that's been going through a class called Discover Your Mission Now. It's been a fun class. We've been doing it for the last 7-8 weeks. And in it, we would discover a way to bless people. And I want to share that with you today for one particular purpose. At the end of the day, I'm going to ask some of you, if not all of you, to consider taking the strategy and seeing the lives around you change. To go on mission with Jesus Christ, wherever you go, to that land he will show you, and just bless. And it's pretty simple. So let's work through this. It spells out B-L-E-S-S on the side of your paper. We're going to work through this. It's going to be so simple. I can do that, okay? So let's just practice that. I'm going to have you repeat after me. I can do that, okay? Ready? I can do that. One more time. I can do that. Yes, you can. All right, now you're going to know what you can do. All right, so B-L-E-S-S. Let's start with B. And the B stands for this. Begin with prayer. Everybody can do that. To be a blessing in the world, you just start with prayer every single day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for my friends. I'm going to pray for my family. That's all great. But here's the prayer I'm going to pray. God, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to run into today? Who can I bless today? Who can I bless? Use me, God, to do something amazing. God, I want to bless people. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is a great book, and it's an amazing thing. If you look at chapter 6, 1 through 8, you'll see that Isaiah goes to heaven in a vision, and he sees God. And you ever hear people say, when I see God, I'm going to ask him a bunch of questions? You ever heard that before? I'm going to ask God why this, or I'm going to ask God why that, or how does this work, or why did you do this? And people always have this, but here's the truth. I think when we're going to see God, and we're going to be just like Isaiah, we're just going to fall down. And we're going to go, we are unholy. We are sinful people. And exactly that happened to Isaiah. And when he saw God and he experienced that, he just fell down and he understood how inadequate he was for what he had in front of him. And if you feel inadequate to be on missions, believe me, you're just like Isaiah. But God used a coal and he touched it to his lips and said, I've cleansed you. It's what the blood of Christ does for you. Yes, you are inadequate, but God makes you adequate in Christ to be on mission. And when all this happened, Isaiah stood back up and he's facing God. And verse 8 says this. This is his experience. He says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" Who's going to tell everybody? "And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Can you see him like raising his hand a little bit? "I'll do it. I'll do it. Send me. I'm inadequate. I have a lot of questions myself. I'm not sure. God, you did all these things in my past, but I'll go. God, there's people in my neighborhood who don't know you. I'll go. God, there's people at my work, and man, some of them are difficult to talk to, but I'll go. Send me. God, there's people in my family that I'm going to see here in the next week or so, maybe, and I don't enjoy talking to them, and we always fight about Jesus or fight about something, but I'll go. Just use me." How it starts every day. Who do you want me to bump into, God? Use me for something that you want to do. So the B is simply that. Begin with prayer. Get in the rhythm of every day praying, "God, use me. Send me." The L is probably the most difficult one, I'll be honest with you. L is listen. Listen, huh? I never was taught how to listen. I've said this before, but I don't know about you. I've had speech classes before. I know it's hard to tell that, but I've had speech classes before. But I never had a listening class in my whole life. Anybody ever have a listening class? If you're a teacher, maybe 5 minutes, just teach on what is a good listener, right? My parents try to teach me, and they would say, "Are you listening?" I go, "Yeah," and I wasn't listening at all, right? My ears were absorbing the vibration of what they were saying, and it was some way going in there, but it wasn't really resonating, you know, or connecting. And so they would say, "Are you listening to me?" I go, "Sure I am. I learned how to nod and smile. I was really good at that." But I had to learn to listen. I'm still learning to listen. Listening is not natural, is it? It's like unnatural. We have to relearn how to connect with people and really listen to them. Listen to their stories. Listen to them when they tell you what's going on in their life. Listen to them on Friday when they tell you what they're going to do on the weekend. Learn to listen. I heard on the radio the other day a guy named Michael K. Williams. He's an actor. Maybe some of you guys have heard of him. He was on the show The Wire and Boardwalk Empire, and now he's on a show called The Night Of, their cable shows. He grew up in a really, really rough area in the New York area, just a tough area. His mom said, "What are you going to do with your life? Get on with your life, do something with it." And he said, "I'm going to become a dancer," which didn't make her happy, you know. Is there any money in that? And he went from dancing to acting. And when he got on The Wire, he played a character called Omar. It's a prison drama. And Omar was a pretty tough character, I guess. But Michael K. Williams got a lot of accolades for this. People noticed him as an actor. What they didn't know about him and what he talked about in his story that I heard him tell, he didn't feel good about himself. He was molested at 12. He did not like the way he looked. He didn't like the way he grew up. He didn't like his situation. He had no self-confidence whatever. And when people started writing in and telling him how great he was at acting, he just felt like, no way. It's all a sham. I'm not that good. In order to get through the days, he started doing drugs. He started doing lots of drugs to kind of get his mind around this fact that he didn't deserve all this good stuff in his life. And because of that, he began to spiral down into badness. And as he did that, he reached out. He'd heard about a pastor named Ronald Christian at the Christian Love Church there in that area. And he called up and he said, "Hey, this is Omar," which was his stage name, right? That was his character's name. "And I need to speak to Pastor Christian." They go, "Well, he's not here. We just come and sit and he'll come back." And they called him and Pastor Christian came and came to where he was. And he says, "Well, what do you want me to call you? I know they said your name was Omar. What do you want me to call you?" He says, "Well, you can just call me Mike or Michael." He goes, "Really?" Because he had never seen the show, didn't know anything about him. He just saw a young man sitting in front of him that had a lot of issues. And so he employed the best tool that he had in his toolbox, which was to listen. And he just began to listen to him. And Michael Williams is telling the story how he just told him everything over a period of time. And this is what Pastor Christian told him. He says, "I'm going to love you until you love yourself. I'm going to love you until you love yourself, and the best way I can love you is by listening. You're going to walk into places where people don't ever get listened to. They have something going on in their life. They're looking for one person. Go, I'll listen. Just tell me. I'm a safe place. Everybody's got brokenness somewhere in their life. Everybody's broken." I heard Michael Williams say that. He said, "Everybody's broken. The only thing that makes one person different is they have Jesus in their life, holding the brokenness together. And when we learn to listen with those kinds of ears, I've got my issues, you've got your issues, let's just help each other through this. It changes a life. James 1:19 says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry." It's like the verse we get exactly backwards, right? Aren't most people quick to get angry and quick to speak? We're very slow to listen. And the thing about following Jesus is he flips our life. Be a quick listener. How was your weekend, you might say to someone. I know you were going somewhere. How's your mom doing? You told me she was sick. Tell me what's going on. You were concerned about losing your house. Where are you with that right now? I know you had some health issues. Can you just catch me up and just listen? It's a great thing to do. One of the things about teaching, if you've ever done this, you teach a class or any class, you know how God works. He's so cool how God works. He says, okay, you're going through this. Let's just apply it now. Let's just do something. So I was on my way to a prayer meeting the other night, and I was running tight and to time. And if you know me, I hate to be late anywhere. I just hate to be late. I'm actually trying to be early wherever I go. And when I was driving down the road, I saw a student that had come here to Bridges for a while. His family had come. They've gone through some really rough times, and he's walking. And I go, I got to get to this prayer meeting. I'll just wave or something. And he didn't see me, and I thought, Wait a minute. I just talked about listening and being on, you know, on mission for God. And I just prayed that morning, God, bring somebody in my life and send me. So, I mean, I can't be a hypocrite about everything, you know. So I go, okay, I'm going to stop, God. I'm going to stop. And so I pulled around. I did it legally. I pulled back and got back on the road. And I pulled up and said, hey, remember me? He says, yeah. I go, do you need a ride? He goes, yeah, I need a ride. I'm going to a friend's house. I said, okay. So he gets in the car, and it's one of those things where he just starts talking. And he had a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff. It went from one thing to the next, and it was just a lot of stuff. And we got to the friend's house. He directed me and just pulled in. And I thought he'd just get out, but he kept talking. And then you looked in the house and you saw the blinds move. You ever do that? And the blinds were like, whose car is that? And then the person, his friend came out and he's like looking in the car. You can't see anybody. And he comes out and he looks and we kind of went, it's okay. You know, here's the guy and he knows you and okay. So then the friend just paced there. I'm sure he thought it was weird. And anyway, he just talked. He just needs somebody to listen. And so we listened for a while. I said, I'm going to pray for you. It's going to be okay. And I didn't talk a lot. I didn't give a lot of advice. I didn't have a lot of advice to give except Jesus. Jesus is there for you. It's all you need to know. I can't solve all your problems, but he can. And it was kind of cool. I left there and went to the prayer meeting, and it's like, you know, you apologize for being late. But I actually felt okay about it. You know what I mean? It's okay to be late when God stops you. God may stop you today or tomorrow and said, you just need to listen to so-and-so. Be late. It's okay. Put down what you're doing and just listen. Here's what happens to most people. Tell me if this is not true. You ask them how they're doing, they're going to tell you, fine, doing well, right? How's life? They're going to say, I'm busy or I'm good, right? If it's anything besides fine, good, and busy, there's something wrong, right? Unless they're just cool and come up with their own thing. If you get something besides fine, good, or I'm busy, that seems anything like, or I don't know, that means you're supposed to listen. They're looking to see, will you listen? And you can bless somebody by just taking a few moments and listening to what's going on. It's a great way to bless people. Well, the B is begin with prayer. The L is listen. The E is my favorite. It's the shortest one. It's the word eat. It's the word eat. I'm going to do a quick poll. You already know the answer. I probably do too, but let me just ask it anyway. How many of you guys enjoy eating? Raise your hand. All right, I think everybody, maybe two or three, some people, I don't want to raise my hand, he's going to ask me to take him out to lunch. No, I'm not, all right? Eating is great, isn't it? Did you know this is one of the greatest ways to be missional in your life is by eating with people? Do you know when Jesus came to this world, one of his favorite strategies was eating with people? It's so simple. Why? Because everybody eats, and everybody in here loves it, right? And if it's not eating, then coffee. I'm not a coffee person, but I'll if you take me to Starbucks, if you want to meet over Starbucks, I'll find something there to get. It's just spending time with people, right? And when you eat, you know what you have to do? You have to wait till they're finished. You can't just get up and go, so it has to be an extended period of time. Jesus came, so I'm going to eat with people. Mark chapter 2, verse 15, here's his strategy right here. It's a lovely strategy. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, we know him as Matthew, he's a tax collector. Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him. Notice it says were eating. It wasn't a one-time thing. It was a constant thing. Eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Many what? Tax collectors and sinners. Jesus ate with people. It's a great time to be vulnerable with people, isn't it? I don't know. I think you know, things sometimes. I wonder if Jesus ever got, like, food in his beard. You ever think about it like that, you know? And he's dipping the bread in the sauces, and you know how that drips and stuff. It's like they ate stuff like chips and sauces. I mean, that's what it looked like. And when you're doing that, it's messy. Not only that, they kind of laid down. Have you ever laid down and tried to eat on one arm, you know? It's messy stuff, and it's you're talking. And you ever been talking to somebody, and they got food in their mouth? You know what I'm talking about? This is when you're vulnerable. And they always say on your first date, don't go eat spaghetti, right? Why? Because you're going to slurp it. It's going to get everywhere and mess your shirt up. But it's that time where you're just saying, this is who I am. And you learn a lot from people while you're eating, don't you? Do they use the right fork, you know? Do they eat with their fingers? Do they eat dessert first? Do they eat their vegetables? I mean, you learn all kinds of things about people while you're eating with them, but the main thing is you're just relaxed. Almost every culture in the world, one of the best ways to get to know somebody is just eating with them. What a great strategy this is, isn't it? When Jesus ran into Zacchaeus, the guy up in the tree, he says, I'm coming home today to eat with you, Zacchaeus. Let's go hang out. Let's just spend time together. So how does that work? It's so simple. Invite people to your home and have a meal for them. Invite your neighbors over and have a cookout in your driveway. At work, somebody eats by themselves in the office, just go, hey, can I just hang out with you today? I brought my food too. It's just simply finding people and hanging out with them, doing what you normally do and just carrying on a conversation. And let God take it where it's going to go. Because you'll talk about anything while you're eating. Eating is a great strategy. Get together with other people and say, let's get to know our neighbors. If you don't know your neighbors, maybe this is what God's calling you to do. I need to get to know my neighbors, the people around me in my complex, at the apartments, or in my neighborhood, or on my road, wherever you live. Maybe you don't know somebody. Invite them over. Let's get to know you. No agenda. You're not sharing the gospel the first time, okay? Unless God just opens a door, which may happen. But for most of us, it's just, let's get to know each other. Who are you? Let me tell you who I am. And get to know them by eating. It's my favorite one of the four. Eating with people is a great thing. If you ask me what I do for meetings, I eat with people. Where's my office? Chick-fil-A. Half my meetings are at Chick-fil-A, and I'm always running into people there who aren't part of my meetings. And they go, what are you doing? You know, I'll explain. This is why I'm here, and this is who I am. Really? That's cool. Where's your church? And they're like, we meet in a school. Really? I mean, just start stuff. I don't know what it is about eating. It's just common ground. And you can find people just by eating with them. Well, the S in bless, the first S, because you notice there's two, is the word serve. Serve. It's what Jesus did. He served. Wherever he went, he served. John just tells us over and over again, this is what Jesus did. He told us about 7 signs, but we know 35 different miracles that Jesus did. He fed people. He healed people. He listened to people. He did whatever it took to let people know this is what God is here for. You ever notice when you read the story of Jesus, he doesn't hang out in one place very often? He would go somewhere and then move on. There's other people I've got to go serve. All over his region, and he walked everywhere he went. He just served. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, this is what he said to the crowd of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 13, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So the strategy is so simple. Just go do good deeds and my Father gets the credit. Just go out and serve people. And it doesn't have to be huge. It just has to be giving of yourself. And here's the deal, I think, is what happens. When you serve the person you like the least, it gives God the most glory. When you serve the person that's hardest to serve, it gives God greater glory. When you don't like the person, but you're called to love them, God says, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Someone who's willing to say, it's not about me, it's about God, and it gives him glory. So look for ways to serve. Well, as we work through this, and the last S is probably, I think, the hardest of them. If eating is the easiest, then S is the hardest. The last S is story. Story. Serve is the first S. Story is the last S. Share your story. You know, in the South, in the church world, we're good about talking, my church did that or my church did that. We're great about talking about politics, right? We can talk about politics wherever you go. We can talk about food. We can talk about restaurants. We can talk about family. We can talk about our vacations. We can talk about what we did on the weekend. We can talk about our grass and how slow it's growing or how fast it's growing. We can talk about our lawnmowers. We can talk about what we saw on TV last night. The hardest thing to talk about for us, for some reason, is our relationship with Jesus. Don't be fooled by that. It should be the first thing we talk about. When Jesus went and he healed people, you know what they talked about? They talked about what Jesus did. The man born blind, people go, well, how do you see? He goes, I don't know how I see. I was blind, now I see. That's my story. The father whose son was healed 19 miles away, what do you think he told people? My son was dying and Jesus healed him and he was 19 miles away. At the wedding, they're going, hey, I've never been to a wedding like this before. They ran out of wine. They fed us this water, but it tasted like the best wine. That was so cool. They saved it till the end. We tell this story. I'm out in the desert. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. We run out of food. Jesus feeds 5,000 of us. It was great. We had leftovers. It was the most awesome thing. They told these stories. Peter, I got to walk on water. What a great story that would have been. I wonder if he talked about the part about sinking, though. You know how we always make ourselves look better? I walked on water. I sank, too. But I walked on water. Jesus pulled me out. That's a great story, isn't it? And you might be going, I don't have a story like that. Look at Lazarus. He was dead for 4 days. That'd be a great story, wouldn't it? Man, let me tell you what I saw. Look what happened. I was dead for 4 days, and then Jesus called me out. We could tell that story if we had it. But I don't have that story. John didn't either. Did you ever notice this? What did Jesus do for John? He didn't heal him. He did save him from a storm one time, so if God's ever saved you from a bad thing, you've got a story. He fed him one time. Has God ever taken care of you? You've got a story. He saved his life. You did too. If you were a follower of Jesus, you have a story. Share your story. You don't share your story at first. You bless them. You listen to them. You eat with them. You serve them. And when God gives you the opportunity, you just go, look, can I tell you what God did for me? I know you're hurting. I know there's something happened in your life. Can I tell you what God did for me? This is how he got me through. That's your story. In Acts 1:8, Jesus got his followers together right before he left. And he said, I got to tell you something, guys. I'm getting ready to leave. And this is what he told them in Acts 1:8. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's not going to be your words. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let me ask you this. You guys can answer. What is a witness? What is a witness? Someone who does what? He sees it and he tells about it. How hard is that? What'd you see? What'd you hear? What were you doing? Okay, I got it. That's all you're called to do. I saw Jesus do this in my life. Can I tell you about it? The other day I was reading his word and he told me this through his word. It wasn't weird or anything. I was just reading. I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, this is something you need to know. Can I share that? I was sick and I prayed and God healed me. I know you're going through a tough time. Can I just tell you, I have faith he's going to work because he worked in my life. I know you're struggling with your faith. Can I just tell you how God gave me my faith? Just to open on this witness. You're not called to defend somebody else. You're called to just tell people what happened to you. That's all. So get to know people. Share it with a friend and tell them what God's doing in your life. As we wrap this up, I want to share another verse and then a quote when we're done. To understand God and his sent nature, you need to know 1 Timothy 1, 3, and 4. And this is what Timothy hears from the writer, Paul. Paul wrote this to Timothy, and he said, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. He wants everyone. That guy at your work, that woman at your work that you just, man, they rub you the wrong way. God wants them to be saved. The family member that just has driven you crazy, they've done things to you, they've lied about you, they've hurt you. You know what? God wants them to be saved. The person in your class that you really don't know and don't get along with maybe so much, God wants them to be saved. Your best friend, if they don't know Jesus, you know what? He wants them to be saved. You don't have to ask God. God, do you want them to be saved? He's already said yes. He just... who's going to go to them? He just wants to know who's going to carry the message. And he wants to know if it's going to be you. In our class, we went through a book called Discover Your Mission Now. And I want to end with a quote from that, written by Dave Ferguson, the writer of the book. And I just love this quote, and it's got a question I want to share with you. And here's the quote. If you are a Christ follower, you have a mission. I mean, you may be living it, maybe not, but you have a mission. You have a compelling cause for your life. You have a reason to get up in the morning. You have a reason to go to work. You have a reason to go to school. You don't have your job just to make money. You have a reason to be there. God has a purpose for placing you on your planet and keeping you here. So now the big question is this. What is your part in the Jesus mission? It's a question that God will show you as you walk with him. Just like Abram, leave and go, and I will show you. I will show you. So I'm going to pray for us now, and as I pray, I'm going to pray for those of us with a mission and that we recognize it, we live to bless people. And I'm also going to pray for maybe someone that doesn't know this Jesus and know that he was sent for you, because God wants you to be saved and understand the truth. Let's pray together. Father God, you have brought us here for a purpose, and it wasn't just to make us feel better, wasn't just to hear a few words from you to encourage us, but that's a big part of why we're here, as you do love us. But you also brought us here today to understand that we are sent with a mission, that you sent your son, and now you're sending us to reach the world. And I pray that you will help us to begin every day with a prayer that says, send me, send me. Who is it, God? Help me to bless them. Help me to love them. Speak through me. I'm inadequate. I don't know how to do this, but I trust that you will figure it out and use even someone like me. Father, show us who these people are. Help us to be a blessing, even if we don't see fruit for years to come. Help us to be faithful, because Jesus was faithful to us. And Father God, if there's anyone here today that needs to know Jesus, to know that he was sent for them, to die for them, to give his life for them, may they just know it and desire him, to give their life to him fully and completely, to be baptized into Christ and to walk with him. Father, just help them to make that commitment right now, that they may live for you. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.